Our text is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, "Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "But Lord God, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Don't say I am only a boy. You must go everywhere I send you, and you must say everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of anyone, because I am with you to protect you," says the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. He said to me, "See, I am putting my words in your mouth. Today I have put you in charge of nations and kingdoms. You will pull up and tear down, destroy and overthrow, build up and plant." If you stop and think about it, there have been so many technological advances in recent years, and that our lives have changed in ways that we never could have imagined, say, even 25 years ago. But I think the thing that would most surprise someone who was suddenly transported from 1990 up into 2016 would be how much we are obsessed by our phones. It's not that phones weren't important back then, but things have moved to a whole new level now. I can remember back in 1990, the movie Pretty Woman came out, and Richard Gere played this very rich guy, and one of the ways they showed how wealthy he was that he had a mobile phone, you know, and he could give and receive calls anywhere, which he had to do because he was this important business guy. And the funny thing is now, if you watch when he pulls out his mobile phone, you're not going to be impressed. You're probably going to laugh because this thing is huge. It's like this big. I mean, you could take it anywhere. He could make and receive calls, but you're not going to put it in your pocket. And this is, today, you don't have to be rich to have a cell phone. Lots of people have cell phones. And like Richard Gere, wherever we are, we can get our important calls. And in fact, in general, we're so worried we're gonna miss an important call that most of us carry our cell phones with us everywhere. How many of you have your cell phone with you today? Okay, there you go. All right, now I have another question, and you don't have to raise your hand on this one. How many of you, when Pastor Bill or I say, "Turn your cell phone all the way off for worship," actually just turn it to silent or vibrate? Okay, someone's brave enough to actually wave their hand. Yeah. We don't want to miss that important call. It's just too important. Now, in today's scripture, Jeremiah just received an important call, and on his caller ID, you might say what came up was Yahweh, or the Lord, or God. Now, if you saw that name show up on your caller ID, you'd probably freak out a little bit. You might think it was a prank, and hesitate just a moment, and then hit ignore. Or maybe you'd be curious to see who's on the other line, and so you pick it up and very tentatively say, "Hello?" We don't know how Jeremiah received that call. All he says in the scripture is, "The Lord spoke his word to me." His word. So maybe it was a text. But however he received it, Jeremiah didn't have the option to ignore that call. He needed to respond. In the Bible, they call the kind of scripture that we read today a call narrative or a call story. These are stories about individuals that God has called to important tasks or positions. And the funny thing is, all of these stories share the same basic pattern. They have four steps. In step one, God identifies a task for the person that God is calling. And in Jeremiah's case, this task is that God appointed him, gave him the job of being a prophet. Now, I think it's important to understand what a prophet is. Somehow, it's gotten to be common understanding that a prophet is someone who predicts the future. But actually, prophets were more likely to talk about what was going on in the present. And in fact, the best definition of a prophet is a channel of communication between the divine and human. In other words, a prophet is someone who speaks the word of God to the people. Now, most often, a prophet would need to speak when there had been some kind of a breach, a brokenness in the relationship between God and the people. So the prophet was like a go-between, a mediator, telling the people what they needed to do to mend their relationship with God. And the prophet would often say what needed to happen if the people wanted to heal this. It's kind of a, if you don't change your ways, this is what's going to happen. And so I think that's why people thought that prophets were about prediction. But really, it's about communicating God's word to the people. Now, I don't know about you, but the very idea of speaking for God sounds kind of terrifying to me. And on top of that, as a prophet, the words you are speaking may not be the kind of words that the people would want to hear, which would make it even scarier. Which brings us to step two. I think this is the step you would call the excuses step. This is where the person that God is calling begins to make excuses to God about why they're not the right person for God to call for this job. And it might sound strange, but I find this step kind of comforting. The call stories that we get in the Bible, not surprisingly, are all about important people of faith. These are people who will go on to do great things for God. And yet, every one of them, every one makes excuses when God calls them. And most of the time, these aren't the, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm too busy right now, or thanks but no thanks kind of excuse. These are more of the, oh, gee God, I just really don't think I'm qualified to do the job you're asking me. My favorite one is Moses. Moses argues again and again with God, saying, sorry, God, I'm not your guy. I can't do this. Find somebody else. I'm not good enough. Moses. And Jeremiah, who we're talking about today, brings up two excuses against taking the job. First, he says he doesn't know how to speak, which you must admit is going to be a pretty important qualification if you're going to be a prophet. And second, that he's only a boy. He's too young for anyone to take him seriously. But perhaps it shouldn't come as a big surprise that arguing with God isn't always the best idea. Which brings us to step three, what I call the I'll be with you step. And the funny thing about this step in Jeremiah's story is that God just kind of ignores Jeremiah's excuses. And maybe it's because Jeremiah is so young, or maybe because God is like a parent figure to all of us. But when Jeremiah says, "But God, I'm only a boy," God answers back, "Don't say I'm only a boy. You must go everywhere I tell you to go and say everything I tell you to say." It's kind of the equivalent of, "Because I said so." And this may seem kind of harsh, but then God softens it. And he says, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you." It's almost like he's saying, "I know you don't think that you can do this, but I believe in you. Don't be afraid. I wouldn't ask you to do this thing if I really didn't think you could. And I'll be right here with you all the way." Which brings us to step four. And this is where God gives the person a sign to show them that they have indeed been called, that they are the right person. And in Jeremiah's case, God reaches out and touches Jeremiah on the mouth. And I don't know if Jeremiah literally felt that touch on his mouth, but I think it's actually what happens next that's the most important part. God says to Jeremiah, "See, I'm putting my words in your mouth." Basically, what God is telling Jeremiah is, "Don't worry if you can't speak. I'm giving you the words. You just have to share them with the people. You are the right person for this job because you are the one I'm giving the words to. I'm giving you what you need." And that was it. Jeremiah became a prophet. For the next 40 years, he prophesied to the people, which doesn't mean it wasn't easy. Jeremiah is sometimes known as the weeping prophet, because the things that he had to say were sometimes so hard, it made him weep. But it gave his life purpose. And for 40 years, he worked as the person who was there to mend the relationship between God and the people. So that's it. That's Jeremiah's call story. But I think we all have our own call story. And not just pastors and missionaries and Sunday school teachers, oh my, but everyone. Sometimes you may be your call may be to ask you to use your gifts in church, but sometimes your call may be to use your gifts in a certain job, in something that you can do better than anyone for the greater good of the world. But what's interesting is, I think, believe it or not, all of us go through those four steps. Now, we're not Jeremiah, so our stories are going to be different. And yet, those four steps unfold in their own way for each one of us. So step one, God calls us to a task. I imagine some of you may want to argue with me at this point. You'll say, "I've never heard God speak to me like he did to Jeremiah." Once again, you're not Jeremiah. God's going to talk to you in your own way. And we may wish that caller ID would come up or that text would say, "Hey, Sheila, this is God. Here's what I want you to do." That would make things so much easier. We want to be sure we know what God's asking us, but usually it doesn't work that way. Usually God's call just kind of comes like a strong feeling, Or maybe it's a nudge in a particular direction, something you think that maybe you ought to be doing. It's a small voice urging us. And sometimes that voice is human. It might be someone literally calling you on the phone and asking you to do something. Maybe something you never would have thought of on your own. And then we come to step two, you know this one, excuses. The reasons we tell God and ourselves that we can't possibly do this thing that God's asking us to do. For Jeremiah, the excuse was, but I'm only a boy. And for us, it often starts the same way. But I'm only a, and you can fill in that blank however you want. But I'm only a middle-aged woman. But I'm only a college student. But I'm only a refugee or a retiree or on and on and on. But God sees beyond our but onlys. God knows that we are so much more than that. We can do so much more than we ever imagined. So God moves beyond our excuses to step three. He reassures us. And once again, sometimes God does this through other people. I want to tell a little tale on somebody. Gold in my ear, and I told her I would do this, who got baptized last week and teaches in our nursery school. Her attitude used to be like, oh, anybody could do this. I'm just working with kids. This is easy. But as she's done this, many people have reassured her, have encouraged her, have told her what a gift she has to work with children. And as they've encouraged her, she's come to realize that working with children is not easy for everyone. And that maybe she does have a gift in this direction. And maybe she's called to keep doing this here. And finally, we come to step four. God gives us a sign. And sometimes this can be problematic. Because we want that big gesture. We want to see it written in the sky or at least a billboard or flashing lights. But usually it's more subtle than that. Often the sign is just how things come together. Before I worked at this church, I kind of felt like God was calling me to something special, but I didn't know what it was. And then the nonprofit that I worked for, I found out that they were going to be closing in like 2 months. And so I started looking for a job, not sure what my purpose was. And then, right after that, the youth worker here at First Baptist announced that she was leaving. Everything just came together. How could I argue with that? And when Pastor Bill said, Sheila, what do you think? I said, okay. And I have been grateful ever since God has blessed my life. It's like that song, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. We leave our phones on so we don't miss that important call. So leave yourself open to that most important call. Pay attention, watch for it, and when it comes, don't hit the ignore button. And even if you do, be warned, God's gonna call you again and again. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows the gifts you have to offer the world. And I can practically guarantee you that accepting that call will be terrifying, but it will be so meaningful and so much purpose. So answer it, even if it's just with a nervous hello. And here's the good news. When you answer the call, God will be with you, giving you what you need to bless you and to bless others by what you uniquely have to offer. Amen. Would you all now please join me in singing, "Here I Am, Lord." Please stand.